Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the program Make Up Your Mind. This program is brought to you by Fabric Place. I'm Hussein Wadi, and our learned guest once again is going to be our scholar of Sharia, of Hadith, a researcher and orator. That's going to be Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. Right now, inshallah, we'd like to welcome our learned scholar onto our Make Up Your Mind Q&A program. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for joining us. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib, to begin with this afternoon's Make Up Your Mind Q&A session, as we are getting closer to the days of I'tikaf, could Hazrat Mufti Sahib perhaps speak to us on this topic of I'tikaf and the Mu'atakifs?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First of all, again, we divide those who are making i'tikaf into three types or three categories. Firstly, they are those who understand the benefits of i'tikaf by self-perception, and they perform it with total insight and reap tremendous benefit by it. That they are those who understand that it is extremely detrimental to be immersed in the webs of the materialistic world. They understand that the dunya, to be all the time in the dunya, is not conducive to anybody spiritually, bodily, and they realize it is futile and vain to occupy the heart and the mind of the world with its worldly illusions, and know the benefit lies in solitude. For example, solitude in the masjid, and get involved in ibadat all the time. And because situation and circumstances does not allow it, therefore they have to go out into the masjid. Now in Islam, the rule is that anything does not have to be totally discarded. For example, we have got anger. Islam does not want us to totally suppress it, but to direct it and translate it and put it into a new dimension towards jihad. Passion, Islam does not want a person to totally discard it and suppress it, but get married and utilize it in the right place. Now, this person here, he, out of self-analysis and self-perception, he comes to realize, I have to leave the dunya for some time and be in solitude. What a great scholar of Islam, he defined dunya as everything or anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the akhirat. So anything. It could be the wife, the children, the business, the firm, the money, the clothing, the fashion. Anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the akhirat will be classified dunya. And this first category of i'tikaf performer realizes this. Therefore, he would like to be in solitude, alone with his creator, making ibadat all the time. Now, therefore, this person sets aside from his busy schedule, he takes out time and he performs i'tikaf to obtain the benefits and the fruits and the results and the consequences of i'tikaf. The second type of mu'atakif, the one who performs i'tikaf, is one who has realize the benefits and come to know of the benefits via the truthful Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and his heart testifies that these benefits as enumerated in the ahadiths are barhaq, are truthful, then he, hoping to receive this reward, he goes into i'tikaf, and inshallah he will become successful. The third type of the person who makes i'tikaf, that is the common person now. He makes i'tikaf and he is drawn towards the i'tikaf by some reason, some cause other than the first two categories. But this person also is not deprived in the light of Sharia. He will be rewarded. And he, even if he does not see and experience the benefits of i'tikaf in this world, surely, definitely, in the akhirah, he will see the benefit and the reward of i'tikaf. Now, there are two basic, simple benefits of i'tikaf. Firstly, the mu'takif is saved from sins of the tongue. At times it happens that one fasts and stays away from the three prohibited things but has no control over the tongue. But this happens to most people, unfortunately. Many Muslims, they stay away from the three prohibitions of fasting, but as far as their tongue is concerned, they have got absolutely no control over it. Abusive, vulgarity, swearing, cheating, deception, lying, gossiping, backbiting, all this, unfortunately, the fasting person does. Now, i'tikaf is the best remedy for this ailment of the tongue. In i'tikaf, one is all the time in solitude, and he cuts himself from all, and is saved from all sins. And the person in i'tikaf is in solitude, free from vain talk, futile activity, wasteful and careless talk. There is a hadith in Ibn Majah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when he was discussing about the mu'takif, he said that he is restricted to the masjid and is saved from sin. So alhamdulillah, the person in the masjid, when he is making i'tikaf, is in solitude. Therefore we advise those who are going to make i'tikaf that you must try to be in solitude, focus on ibadat. And a lot of places nowadays we find that many people make i'tikaf and it turns out to be a party, it turns out to be a exchange of idea sessions, it turns out to be gossiping sessions, backbiting sessions, and it turns out that the person is no more in solitude but defeating the very aim of i'tikaf. Now the second benefit of i'tikaf is to seek the night of Laylatul Qadr. It was the habit of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should make i'tikaf for the last 10 nights and he should look for the night of Laylatul Qadr, be engaged in ibadat. And also, when a person is in i'tikaf looking for the night of Qadr, he resembles the malaika, the angels. Now, similarities between the mu'takif and the malaika now come about. Malaika, as you know, do not sin. The mu'takif stays away from sin. Malaika involved in ibadat, the mu'takif involved in ibadat. Malaika are obedient to Allah, mu'takif obedient to Allah. Malaika are glorifying, praising Allah, mu'takif glorifying, praising Allah. Malaika ready to be in obedience to Allah, mu'takif ready to be in obedience to Allah. Now, if a person wants to look for Laylatul Qadr, that means he'll have to engage in some ibadat. whether it be by way of Quran tilawat, zikr, making nawafil salah, this he cannot do at home, because the attractions of home are great in number. Also the distractions of the home are equally great in number. The necessities, the chores, and the activities of the house will not allow the person to properly seek for Laylatul Qadr. So the best method and the best course of action and the best scheme is go and make i'tikaf. Now, even when the mu'takif sleeps in the masjid, it is classified as ibadat and will receive the reward for and the sawab of staying awake in the night of Laylatul Qadr. Now the mu'takif obviously cannot do many actions, but he is rewarded adequately, as we will soon explain. Now i'tikaf, while the Shariat has made it, and what is the wisdom of i'tikaf? To make i'tikaf in the masjid, cutting oneself from all, staying away from all, to be focused on one's Rabb, is a cause for purity of heart and purging, cleaning of the heart. So now, when a person is in i'tikaf, two things come up. One is purity of heart. Secondly, purging of the heart of evil, malice, hatred, jealousy, bad qualities, bad personality. The person is given time to think, deliberate, ponder over his condition, his current condition, and he begins to make ibadah regularly, constantly, and he gets his takbir aula, he makes his salah, and he reads to a salah to jamaat. Now he is in an environment that will make him good. It will clean his heart, purge his heart. And because he has cut himself from everybody, he's cut himself off from general discussion, from vain talk, futile activity, then when he is in the masjid, one can unilaterally be focused on ibadah and, obviously, as I stated, become aligned to the qualities of the malaika, and then it is an excellent medium to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek for the Laylatul Qadr, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this and classified it masnoon for the pious and the righteous and the close ones who will use the special occasion of the last 10 nights of Ramadan and make extra ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there are certain few basic laws and wisdoms. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that it is a speciality of the mu'takif that as per Sharia, he does not visit the sick, does not participate in salat janaza, and he does not go out, and he does not have relationship with women, no embracing or kissing of them, nor does one go out except for one needs, which are essential. For example, urination, passing of stool. That is, a person who is in i'tikaf, obviously he doesn't do these activities. He does not go out to visit the sick. He does not go for salat and janaza. He does not engage in relationship with women. But it is stated in the hadith that the person in i'tikaf will be rewarded for all this. Because of his absence and because he cannot visit the sick, he'll be rewarded. Because he does not go for salat and janaza, he'll be rewarded by just sitting and by just making i'tikaf. Also, that the Ramadan i'tikaf has to be done with fasting. A person, if his fast breaks while he's in i'tikaf, automatically the i'tikaf will break. Now the person, alhamdulillah, will make i'tikaf in a masjid wherein 5 daily salat will take place. That is the place for i'tikaf. Now the reality of the Mu'takif is he frees himself and cuts himself from all. He's attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cut away from all distractions, involved in ibadat, zikr and fikr, concern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the above to be done and maintained and sustained, meaning that he does it regularly and he does it properly, he does it constantly, there are certain rules and regulations, limitations, which are stipulated in the light of Sharia. And that which makes him now focused on ibadat. He puts pressure on his nafs. The nafs goes at the difficulty. And the nafs has to behave contrary to habit. Imagine the person is restricted to a certain demarcated area. He only has to stay in that area. He cannot come out of that area unless for some definite valid reason. Otherwise, he must maintain himself, sustain himself, care for himself within the confines of that area. Here we must understand something, that whenever the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they use the word Sunnah, it refers to a Shari law which they have heard from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they have heard, understood it from his noble actions. Here there is a technical statement, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu's statements, they are like the hadith marfu. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala her statements and laws stated and extracted from what she learned from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what she heard from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we should realize and we have come to know the meaning of i'tikaf, the wisdom of i'tikaf, why Allah wants us to make i'tikaf, the benefit of i'tikaf, the purpose of i'tikaf, and the three types of those who make i'tikaf, meaning the three types of mu'takifin, and a person who is going for i'tikaf must learn the basic simple laws of i'tikaf. Also, it is essential for that person to be fully focused that why am I going for i'tikaf. Secondly, he must know the boundaries of the masjid. Thirdly, that he must know the do's of i'tikaf and the don'ts of i'tikaf. And fourthly, he must not defeat the purpose of i'tikaf by, for example, taking in a cell phone and then sitting whole day on the cell phone and talking to his wife and children. In that case, rather he stays at home and make a normal fast, then go into the masjid and think that he is making i'tikaf. Also, that the mu'takif, the person who goes in for i'tikaf, the mu'takif, he must not engage in futile discussions with his other companions whilst in i'tikaf. May Allah Ta'ala grant his ability to make i'tikaf how i'tikaf supposed to be done.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Right now we have online with us our dynamic scholar of Sharia, also of Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Idyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. If you do have any questions, you could call us on 208-4564. If you're calling out of the Durban area, then the area code is 031. We do have Anonymous online. Anonymous, Assalamu Alaikum.
Waalaikum Salaam.
Sister, you can go ahead with your question.
Okay, I'd just like to find out, if a person has a MasterCard, and if they purchase food stuff and clothing on it, and they're paying a certain amount of interest, are they allowed to pay that interest?
Okay, JazakAllah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Yes, as far as that is concerned, then the person who has got this plastic card, first of all, we will make an appeal that as Muslims, we should try as far as possible not to utilize these plastic cards. Unfortunately, plastic cards leave us into economical difficulty, and it is one of the systems and economical ploys of Dajjal to get us involved in plastic and plasticated money and smart cards and all these cards that they are referring to. However, if a person wants to carry these cards, then he should have enough funds in the bank so that when utilizing these plastic cards, it can be done on a straight purchase and not on a budget purchase. However, if a person, he or she goes to an outlet and buys a garment or goods on the budget price and is prepared to pay the extra, that means 100 rand cash or 120 rand on credit, then the person has voluntarily opted to pay 120 rand instead of 100 rand, then that transaction is permissible. However, that to involve oneself in interest, knowing that one is going to be paying interest, is absolutely against the spirit of Sharia.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. We do have Mrs. Khan online. Mrs. Khan, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salaam.
Mrs. Khan, your question?
Yeah, my query is, I'd like to know the rights of a mother-in-law over her son-in-law or over her daughter-in-law, in the sense that if she disapproves of something, can she tell that person if it's not related to Islamic aspects, if it's not pertaining to Islam? Can she correct that behavior? And if so, how can she go about it? JazakAllah.
JazakAllah to Mrs. Khan. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, it's a very common question that normally comes in.
As far as the rights of the mother-in-law over the son-in-law and the daughter-in-law, as the mother-in-law obviously has to be treated like the second mother. That's one. Secondly, that naturally, as human beings, the mother-in-law must be treated with respect, honor, and dignity. Thirdly, that just as the mother supposed to be the well-wisher of her children, the mother-in-law has to be the well-wisher of her son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Fourthly, that the mother-in-law has got the right to admonish the son-in-law and the daughter-in-law if they are not acting according to Sharia, especially if they are going against the Sharia. First of all, diplomatic manner, not shouting, swearing, being abusive, but they should have a mutual understanding in the house that anything, anybody doing anything against the Sharia, it will be brought for discussion and it will be brought for deliberation, thereby having a healthy environment in the home whereby they can correct each other if they are doing anything contrary to Sharia. Ji.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. We do have another caller online. We have Ismail. Ismail, Assalamu Alaikum.
Alaikum Salaam wa Rahmatullah. I would like to ask Mufti Sahib, please,
yes,
concerning
ahead.
The itikaf. Now, what happens if your mother, your children, your wife immediately just pass on a sudden death? What can you then leave the itikaf and attend to the janazah?
JazakAllah, Brother Ismail. Hazrat Mufti Sahib.
If a person as he stated, and this sometimes it does happen, what the respected Brother Ismail is talking about, that there is an emergency and the person goes away and the Motikif's mother or close relative, wife, child passes away, but no sooner that the person would go away from the masjid, the etikaf will be rendered void, meaning the etikaf will break. And the person now will have to make qaza of that etikaf.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, you've just received this message. It says that a Muslim family is adversely affected by witchcraft, black magic. What is the punishment for Muslims who dabble in witchcraft to harm other people according to the Quran and Hadith? This is also something, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, that is very, very common. We are receiving lots of calls, faxes, and so on with regard to Muslims going to people and practicing witchcraft. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
As far as witchcraft is concerned, jadu is concerned, then, first of all, for a Muslim to go to some non-Muslim especially, who is engaged in this evil activity of black magic, jadu, and then the person involved makes another Muslim recite words of kufr and shirk, then definitely the recitation of words of kufr and shirk will take a person out of the fold of Islam. Secondly, to go to these non-Muslims especially, and even Muslims who engage in black magic and jadu, is completely against Sharia, and especially when it entails doing activities of kufr and shirk. Ulama Ikram Fuqaha have written that those who practice black magic, jadu, the illegal methods, they are bound to die in the halat, in the condition of kufr. Some alims have clearly stated that they are not Muslims. Others have stated that no sooner they practice their witchcraft, they become non-Muslims, they become those out of the fold of Islam. Now, as Muslims, first of all, we should be reciting our Mu'azzatain, the last two quls, our Ayatul Kursi, our Manzil, to protect ourselves. And also, the greatest protection will be to be in the state of wuzu all the time, and to be extremely regular in salat performance, and not worry about people are going to make jadu, etc., jinnat, etc. A person must not be paranoid that people are going to do these things. Have firm faith in Allah, that Allah is the doer, and no one can harm me if Allah does not want any harm to come to me. Protect ourselves, that is the best, and do not be misled and conned by the numerous con artists around who proclaim they can do things, meanwhile they cannot even do things for themselves. So a Muslim must stay away from these people who dwell in all this witchcraft activities.
JazakAllah. Right now we have online with us a scholar of Sharia, of Hadith, and author of over 250 to 300 books, a scholar who has translated the Quran Kareem into simple English, and that is Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we've received this letter. It says, "Dear Mufti Sahib, Assalamu Alaikum, shukran for your sterling work," from an anonymous brother in Sanger. He says, "My 76-year-old mother is blind. She has a fervent desire to read the Quran Kareem. Except for the surah she knows, she cannot follow through a cassette recording. Can she open the Quran, read at least Bismillah, or is there any other way that," he says, "my mom could gain thawab by holding or looking at the pages? Please advise in this matter." Hazrat Mufti Sahib,
Quran Kareem is such a kitab that by looking at it, one person will be rewarded. And we should be very happy and proud that here is an elderly lady that she still wants to see Quran Kareem, read Quran Kareem, listen to Quran Kareem. And this should serve as a warning for us that we who are healthy and we who have got so much boons and favors of Allah, and we do not utilize it. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated that when Allah has blessed you with eyesight, then look at four things: Kaabatullah, Rawza Rasulullah, Kitabullah, and Awliya Allah. Meaning, look at the Kaaba, you get rewarded. Look at the place where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is buried, you will be rewarded. Look at the Quran Kareem, the Kitab of Allah, you will be rewarded. And look at the pious servants of Allah, you will be rewarded. Now, Alhamdulillah, what she can do to gain reward, that if she can make wuzu on her own, Alhamdulillah. If not, aid her to make wuzu, place the Quran Kareem by her, let her hold it. Holding Quran Kareem in the halat of wuzu is rewardable, laudable. And let her look at the Quran Kareem. Looking at Quran Kareem, inshallah, she'll be rewarded tremendously. And also, that let her listen to Qur'an al-Kareem, and the recitation which she likes best, you will come to know after a few days, let her listen to that, and you also sit and listen together with her.
Jazakallah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the next fax that we have received, it states, or actually the question states, that this person says he has been working for this society for many years, or for this organization, and recently he was put off from work due to health reasons. As soon as he had recovered, he went back to work. At the end of the month, the employer refused to give him his salary. What does the Sharia say about this matter, Hazrat Mufti Sahab?
First of all, that the employer, if he has not paid the worker, then he is definitely sinning. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, the hadith is very famous, that pay the worker before the sweat dries on his brow. Meaning, first of all, pay the person. Secondly, that pay him adequately. And thirdly, pay him on time. And fourthly, that do not delay in any of his activities which are due to him. Now, definitely, if this is the case, then the employer is a sinner, transgressor, evildoer, and he will be caught on the day of judgment, and he will have to give his own good amal to the person whom he did not pay. If he did not want to have this person in his employ, then out of the outset, he should have stated clearly that I do not want to employ you. Now, after making him work, then this is grossly oppression. The person who has not been paid should take the matter up with the local Jamia and will present his case, and inshallah they will be able to take the matter up or go to the care line or go to some helpline where they can assist him in an Islamic manner to resolve this issue.
Thank Allah for that. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the next question that has come up actually from one of our volunteers right here at Radio Al-Ansar. This brother wants to know, although he's going to be working here throughout our broadcast, he wants to know if he can sit in actually temporary i'tikaf. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, and if yes, from what time onwards can he sit? Because I think he's free normally after Maghrib.
Remember that there are various types of i'tikaf. And i'tikaf, the Masnoon i'tikaf, which is the last 10 days, will start obviously before the 21st sunset and go till the 1st of Shawwal. Now, that one has got many rules, regulations. For example, the person cannot come out of the masjid except out of a dire necessity. Other than that, the Nafil i'tikaf, I won't discuss the Wajib i'tikaf, the Nafil i'tikaf, the optional i'tikaf, can last for a minute also. As soon as he goes into the masjid, he makes niyat, Ya Allah, that I am going to be making i'tikaf for your pleasure, as long as I am in the masjid. So now he can go and sit there, and he can go and come as he wants to. So, alhamdulillah, that's a good intention. We should try to go for Nafil i'tikaf as much as possible, and especially on the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th night. Hafizab, yes. I'd just like to mention one masala.
Yes.
Because the brother Ismail, I think, raised one question about a person leaving the i'tikaf area, the masjid, out of dire necessity. And I mentioned he has to make qaza. The people may get confused that is there qaza of i'tikaf, and secondly, how to make that qaza. So when the i'tikaf of masnoon i'tikaf becomes void, then it is wajib to make qaza only of that day in which the i'tikaf was rendered void. It is not wajib to make qaza of the full 10 days. Ji Abdullah.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. The next question that has come up: if a woman has just been through a divorce and she's in an iddat period, can she visit anyone who's sick? And also the second question that goes with that is, out of necessity, can she go and work? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
First question, that she cannot go out when she's in i'tikaf, that she cannot go to visit, she cannot go for what we will call cosmetic reasons, that for wedding, for walima, for any festival, party, she cannot go out for drive, anything like that, she cannot go out. Second, that can she go out for dire necessity? She can go out if she is the only sole breadwinner. And firstly, before even making that move, that to classify herself as the sole breadwinner, she must phone the local authorities, the Jamiat, the care line, that she is in iddat and she will be forced to leave her home to earn bread, and she'll be forced to leave her home because she's the sole breadwinner. And I am certain that the respective organizations will tend to her financial needs and necessities and let her spend her i'tikaf in the light of the Sharia as stipulated by the Sharia.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, you mean spend her iddat?
Yes.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next question that has come up: can a lady sit at home for i'tikaf?
Yes, she should can sit at home for i'tikaf. She can demarcate the area where she is going to sit, and she also should know few laws about her i'tikaf, and she must also know what she can do there. For example, she can instruct and control all the activities of a house from i'tikaf. However, she also must know that it is necessary to obtain her husband's consent for such an i'tikaf, number one. Secondly, that she must be in the condition of fasting. Number three, obviously she has to be free from the state of menstruation or nifas. And from there she can control the household. She must know the demarcated area. She can sew, she can knit, she can cook, and she can teach, and she can learn.
JazakAllah. Mufti Sahib, another email that we have received is actually very, very lengthy. I'm leaving out the first section. This brother actually says that he has converted, he's a convert Muslim or revert. He says, I now have my mom who is 72 years old. She accepted me as a Muslim from day one and has always remained proud of me. She has cancer and is ailing. My sister works in a factory as a laborer 6 days a week, and she is also very sick. Then he says, I have calculated that I have to pay zakat. Can I give to the zakat to my mother and sister as they need, can I give to my mother and sister financial assistance and treat it as zakat? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Now, does he state here that his mother and sister, are they Muslims?
No, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he doesn't.
Okay, we will go and address all issues.
Okay.
Inshallah. See, first of all, that as far as zakat is concerned, that he cannot, let's say we make dua and we hope that they are Muslims, he cannot give his mother zakat, but he can give his sister zakat. That is if they are Muslims. If they are not Muslims, then neither can he give his mother nor his sister. As far as zakat giving, who to give and who not to give, there's a very easy, simple method to learn it and memorize it. If a person has to stand up and spread the arms, and then all above him, above his head, where he came from, his father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, he cannot give zakat. All below him, all that came from him, daughter, son, they cannot get zakat. And the size one arm representing the brothers and the other sister, all of them can get, and all that is coming from there can get.
Jazakallah. Mufti Sahib, 4:57, a few minutes left. Mufti Sahib, the next SMS reads as follows. It says, if a Muslim boy wants to marry a Nasara girl, must she not be converted to Muslim as the Quran says? Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the response to this?
Now, the research of some ulama ikram is that yes, they can marry the Ahl Kitab. Now, it is better if they convert the Ahl Kitab, make them Muslim, and then marry them. By marrying the Ahl Kitab without conversion leads into difficulty, especially when they are offspring. So the best course of action will be to convert them, and also out of experience we have come to know when there are marriages of convenience like this which has been stated, they unfortunately in most cases, I'm not saying it all cases, in most cases they do not produce fruitful Islamic results.
JazakAllah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, one last question. For the sisters that in a state of menstruation, can they recite the Asma'ul Husna or any other du'as?
The Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be recited. And if they want to recite any dua, and if that dua is from the Quran, then they should make intention of recitation of dua and not tilawat a Quran. So they should make a differentiation between dua and tilawat. In the halat of condition of menstruation, they can recite the dua, not making the intention of tilawat.
JazakAllah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we would like to thank you very much for joining us once again on this Q&A. Inshallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib will be back with us on our next Q&A that's going to be on Thursday. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah in all that you do, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the strength to continue with the excellent work. JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.